Hello and thank you for tuning in. We're excited to share a powerful and transformative message with you, brought to you by the Transformers Global Leadership Center. Our vision is focused on raising a new generation of Christian leaders who are called to bring about personal, national, and global transformation. Whether you're looking to deepen your faith, grow as a leader, or make an impact in your community, this message is designed to inspire and equip you to fulfill God's calling on your life. And here's the best part. You can download and listen to all our messages online. Simply visit www.transformersglobal.org and gain access to this life-changing content. You'll find practical insights and spiritual guidance that can help you step into your God-given purpose. Thank you for being part of this movement. Together, we can make a difference in the world. We look forward to walking this path with you.
So can I get one or two feedbacks from anyone? You want to share with me or with us how the conversation has been for you, especially last week's session if you are here? Can I get one or two volunteers that you have to just get your feedback? You can share in the chat if you don't want to talk. You can just share in the chat. If you are bold to unmute, you can also unmute and then just briefly tell us how the conversation has been for you, if possible, from the last week's session or throughout this year, how it has been for you. Is there anyone that is willing to share before we jump into today's session? Go ahead.
Okay, good evening, everyone. I don't know if you can hear me.
Yes, good evening. We can hear you, yes.
Okay, so what I took from the last class is just the innovation part, you know, being innovative and how it's not necessarily inventing or creating something new, but improving the process that people are already in, or simply making life easier or better or cheaper for people. So basically, that's basically what I took from the class, because I've looked at value maybe differently. People say you have to give value. But, you know, I think it's overhyped. But last class made me, you know, understand that innovation is not what I think it used to be. So I have a perspective shift now.
Okay.
But open, so I now know what to do based on where I am now and where I need to be. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much for that wonderful feedback. Okay, awesome. Who else wants to give it a shot? One more.
So particularly for, I think I'll just share for last meeting we had. He said that in the course of last week meeting, one of the things that stood out for me was, having listened from the beginning to the end, I found out that becoming an entrepreneur or having to have financial freedom is not all about money. So it's actually something that starts from the mind. It's something that has to do with your perception. So the moment perception changes, then you can enter into those. You can enter into money comes effortlessly. It's all about solving problems. It's about having a solution to a problem. So, and for me, that's actually, you know, a great shift, a great mind shift. And that's one of the things I took out from last week meeting. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. We are going to move straight into today's conversation. I remember I promised you last week that I'm going to discuss what I call the business value process. Okay, it is not a scientific study of any kind. It's something that on my own, I ventured into, I think when I was in the university. I know I've used it to teach a lot of classes. I've used it to have conversations on people each time they want to build or develop value. There's an improvement to it, of course. There are some things I'm going to say to you that is new, you know, because over years it has grown. And I'm hoping it's going to help somebody. Part of what I want to share with you today, using myself as case study, is, you know, how to build from ground up. Okay, so I'm assuming that maybe there is somebody here listening to me today. Maybe you don't have enough money. Maybe you are a student. You are not able to fund academics, maybe you have a family, your source of income is not as strong as should be, and there is struggling and you're not able to make ends meet. Okay, like we always say, I'm hoping that this conversation today will give you some kind of insight and guide, you know, to build from ground up. And I'm going to share personal experiences from my own journey that can help you move from where you are to wherever you want to become, you know, to wherever you want to be in life. One of the first things I want to say is, why is value process important? The theme of this conversation is becoming God's entrepreneur. And last week, I started by sharing on business value, on being a person of value creation. Essentially, a poor person is not someone who doesn't have money. Okay, so if I want you to take out anything from this session, I want you to know that each time you are depressed and there is no money, okay, when you rise out of your depression or when you leave your room to go outside, I want you to know in your head that you are not poor because you lack cash. You are poor because you don't have anything of value to offer to life, to transact, okay? But sometimes it is not necessarily that you don't have something of value. Please pay attention, okay? It is not necessarily, you might say, okay, this man is saying that the reason I'm poor is that I don't have anything to offer. Yes and no, okay? So what I mean by no is that you might have value, but it might be in a raw state. Listen carefully, okay? So you might have value, but that value might be hidden. It might be in a raw state. Okay, so when it is in a raw state, it is not appreciated as much value. It is not given attention as much value. It is not driving impact as something that will attract a greater value. So it doesn't mean that your life is valueless, but it could be existing in a raw state, which you need to enhance that value in order to be able to maximize the profit that you find in it. Okay? Life is given in raw states. Okay, so I just want you to know that each time, not everybody receives life in a raw state. Okay, the reason is that maybe by the time you are receiving life, somebody else must have acted on the raw states that they have to make progress. Okay, but generally God designed life so that life is going to start in a raw state. Okay, not necessarily that it was just done that way, but that is the design. You remember from the book of Genesis, the Bible said that when God came to the earth, it was void and without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So God met earth, the raw state. So the earth had potential for life form. The earth had potential for the sea, for the clouds, you know, for this beauty, for trees, for the animals, for this beauty that we all celebrate. But those potentials we are hidden in a raw state. So for instance, the silicon that is powering the device that we are using today came from a sand. So when you look at ordinary sand, it looks valueless. You trample on it, you walk over it, because it doesn't seem like it has value. But when human mind begins to act on something that looks valueless, what happens is that it becomes something of value. Suddenly it is worth something. Suddenly people want to pay, want to die, want to kill in order to have it. So I also want to give you a shift that some of you could have something buried within you that is of great value, but it's not value to you or to those around you simply because you have not acted on it. Okay, follow me. I just want to build gradually. So life is given in a raw state. God met the world in a raw state, and he turned it into something of value that all of us are celebrating today. The same way God gave Adam. When God created Adam, God gave Adam cars. God gave Adam aeroplane. God gave Adam fire. God gave Adam computer. But how did he give it to Adam? He didn't give it to Adam in a computer form. He didn't give him chair. He didn't give him house. They were all hidden in the trees, in the sands, in the resources that are surrounding Adam. And it is by his ability to act on it, his ability to act, to press value, that give chairs, that give houses, that give cell phones, that give all the beautiful things that we enjoy today. So your life exists in a raw state, and it is as you improve on it, as you optimize, as you increase that value, that what you give to life or what you attract to life grows in proportionate value to whatever that you are able to produce from yourself. So there is nothing of great advantage to you as a Christian as problem. Okay? As a human, there is nothing of great advantage to you as problem. Problem is an asset. Because what happens is that whoever is able to solve that problem creates something of value. So whenever you see problem or whenever you experience problem, don't always look at it that something is wrong with your life. Don't always look at it that it is the end point of your life. I'm writing a book that came as a result of a problem I faced. And then by talking to God and overcoming that challenge, I discovered that I am not the only one who could be facing this problem. Okay? And I asked myself, okay, can you put it together as a solution called a book and offer to people? Okay, so what happens is that my inability to recognize and solve my problem has given me the power to enhance a value that somebody else can buy into. Okay, so there is nothing of great advantage to you like problem. It is value you create out of the problems, out of the challenges that you face in life that brings pronouncement to you. Okay, so people are not recognized in life for doing normal things. People are not celebrated in life for doing normal things. Nobody is given an award because they did what every other person, you know, did. You know, you wake up in the morning, you know, you go to work, you come back, you eat, you sleep, you wake up again. Nobody is valued for following routine. People are valued when they optimize the system, when they do something different, when they create value, when they bring improvements. And all of a sudden, you are celebrated. Why? You are advancing the course of life. You are moving something from a raw state, just like every other person is, to something that is unique, something that is powerful, and something that enhances value. Okay? So problem is normal to life. Raw material is normal to life. Value is only created when you begin to act on it. So your inability to create value, like I said, is simply what keeps you poor. So your inability to create, to improve, to optimize, to whatever language that you are familiar with, to make better, is what keeps you at that lower chain where you are not able to, you know, make tangible deposit in life. So here is the value, okay? You have a value, okay? So you find yourself here, or any product or any raw material, always find themselves here. The goal is to increase the value. You see the red arrow. The goal is to increase the value where you can get the maximum pricing or the maximum cost or the maximum value that people can make an exchange with it. That is the goal. Okay? Now, two ways I've discovered that you can increase this value to this chain where we are looking for it is, first, you increase in quality. Okay? I call that an upward movement. So in an upward movement, what you are trying to do is to increase the quality. So for instance, if somebody is producing a watch, okay, what happens is that I ask myself, can I improve the quality of this watch? If I do any optimization or any improvement to that watch to make it improved in any form, what happens is that I've increased the value of that watch. So the more somebody comes to add value in terms of quality, whatever product or whatever idea you have keeps increasing in value. And the more it increases in value, the more money or the more exchange it can bring. Okay? So for instance, somebody goes to a gold mine, brings out gold, just in its raw state, you can sell it for a lesser amount. somebody turns it into a gold bar, he has gone through a process, okay, it increases the amount. Somebody takes the same gold bar and makes jewelry out of it, the amount also changes. Suddenly, a gold bar that was selling for maybe £500, somebody is now paying £1 million for it, because somebody just translated the same value into another product of high value or of high importance to people. What happens is that the price just goes up. So the more there is an increase in quality, what happens is that what? The price goes higher. And this applies to you as an individual. What will make people value you? What will make your value or your recognition in the eyes of people to increase is as you begin to bring improvement to your life, to your lifestyle, to your work ethics, to the way you handle things, the way you solve problems, the way you, you know, handle challenges. The more it happens, what happens is that your value keeps increasing. Okay, now there is also a horizontal movement to value development. I call it movement in phase. So movement is phase is when it changes form. Okay, when it changes form. So when it changes form, there is a value, additional value that is created. So imagine when someone plants a cassava, for instance, okay? When they plant the cassava, what happens is that when you harvest that cassava in a raw state, put it in a bag, people can price the whole bag for a different value, okay? Somebody buys that cassava, changes the state of that cassava that was just harvested and turns it into a gari. So what happens is that what? The value changes, increases in proportion, and the price also changes. Then somebody moves the same gari that you buy in a bag, okay, and maybe puts it in a sachet, you know, puts a label on it, design it and make it look nice. That value also increases, okay, because it is changing phases or it is changing states. So whichever way you look at life, maybe in terms of quality or in terms of moving it in phases, the more you do that, the more you increase the value of that item, of that product, of whatever it is in the raw state, and the more money people can be able to pay for it. Let me make it a little bit practical that can help us look at it. So for instance, we have a farmer that is planting corn. Yeah. When you plant corn, okay, you get corn. But of course, you know that there are different species of corn and there are improved seeds that can give you a different variation of corn, right? Right? So what happens is that someone can just be planting corn and somebody can get a better seed of corn that has more seeds, that looks more fresh whenever you harvest it. When you go to market, sometimes when you see a corn in the raw state, you see that they are not all on the same value. They are not sold on the same price, because when they open it, they will tell you, no, this one has more teeth. This one has this one. This one is this one. This one came from here. So the more there is an improvement in the quality of that seed or the quality of that corn, what happens is that the value increases. Okay, if it also moves in a different state, so let's say that it moves from corn and somebody is maybe storing it or processing it, the more value changes, the more value increases. It goes into a manufacturer that turns it into a cornflakes. What happens is that as it moves into any particular phase, based on the value that is added to it, more price is added. Okay, and then it moves to somebody who is going to distribute it. They add their own cost on it. The value keeps increasing. It comes to the retail shop. The same corn that you buy from the farmer becomes different in a retail store. Why? Simply because it has moved in phases. It has been translated in different forms. Extra value has been added to it. And then most times, depending on the kind of product you are looking at, it moves from retail to recycling and from recycling to reuse. Maybe like on physical products like cars or physical products like electronics or wearables, okay? It could be reused, it could be recycled and then reused. So whenever you find yourself in any environment, whatever you find yourself, doing, wherever you see yourself, always ask, how can I increase value upward? Okay? Or increase value by moving whatever I have or wherever I find myself in phases. If you are able to discover by research, through data, by interaction with people, how you'll be able to do that, you will increase value that earns more money to you. Okay? But if you keep doing it the way everybody's doing it, if you keep acting on it the way everybody's acting on it, nothing is going to change. Nobody is going to pay higher. Nobody is going to look for you. Nobody is going to seek your attention, because it's the same thing all the way. Okay? So, for instance, usually people will always ask, okay, how do I create a business value? How do I get a business idea? So when I teach business value process, I always use it to teach business ideas. Okay, so how do I do that? I will ask people, okay, if you want to get a business idea, you can always start by looking at raw material. Start by looking at the raw state. Just start everything by looking at the raw state. Ask yourself, where does this thing come from? And then if you find where it comes from, you ask yourself, is there any vacuum? Is there any vacuum that somebody is not filling that can serve as a business idea? Okay, you feel, oh no, this place is very, very saturated. You move to the next stage, processing. Who are the people processing this? Who are the people storing it? Do you notice that most of the problem people face is that whenever there is a season after selling rice, and then people are not able to sell all their rice, storage becomes a problem. So does it mean we need a storage facility? Can I invest in storage facility? So the more you move through a value chain or a value process, what happens is that you can spot an unfilled area that requires optimization, and you can go in there and fill it. You increase that value, and then you start earning money. The same thing with manufacturing. So who is manufacturing this? Who is manufacturing? How are they manufacturing it? Okay. So if I want to start manufacturing this, is there any niche that this manufacturer is not serving that I could serve? A very practical example I used to give for instance, you know how things, especially if you come from Nigeria, you know how things are being sold in sachets. Why are they selling it in sachets? Because organizations now discover that in as much as you are producing a product, there are different categories that this thing are not serving. There are people who earn money daily who might not be able to maybe pay for a full sachet of 1,000 naira. They might just want to buy for a day, which is 50 naira or 100 naira. How do we break it down so that we begin to serve that area? While pig milk, for some of you in Nigeria, while pig milk, for instance, was dominating the market, how did cowbell start? Cowbell started dominating the market by bringing it down and serving an unserved area community that pig milk was not able to reach. So what happens is that you move into a sector. You move into whether it's a sector of production, anywhere you find value, anywhere you see people doing something, there's a value. So what do? You move into that place and you begin to investigate. Is there an unserved area? Don't just do it the way everybody's doing it, because everybody have known that way. Everybody have seen that it's working. So everybody's making money from it, okay? So what you could do is go an extra mile to ask, okay, but are there things people are complaining? That is where you see organizations take surveys. They take customer reviews. They begin to see patterns. They begin to understand, what are people consistently complaining about? What are the pain points? When we are doing web analysis, for instance, what we are always looking at is, what are the pain points? What are the areas of struggle? Where are people, you know, having constant, you know, persistence in terms of challenges that we can optimize in order to bring solution? You have created a value. You have uncovered a value. And then you move it from that raw state into something of greater value. Okay? It happens at distribution. Who is distributing this? Who is retailing? Who is recycling it? Who is reusing it? So at each sector, what you find is an opportunity to either improve, optimize, or create something of value. Sometimes we say that you are being innovative, but you just simply looked at life and made it better. Another illustration I know I used to also use whenever I teach business value process is, I remember when I was in school, there's this thing they call Vigil Milk. I don't know if they still sell it, you know, but when that thing happened, I just smiled because I just saw what happened. So when Vigil Milk came out, you know, it really sold. People just enjoyed it. It's something like soy milk, you know. It was really, the company was making a lot of money. Then another company now came and started investigating the challenges that customers are having with Vigimilk. And then they looked at the size. They felt, oh, maybe Vigimilk has a big size. We can design something that is smaller, that can reach another niche that Vigil is not thinking about. Okay? We can design something smaller. Smaller quantity means also that it's going to be smaller in terms of the price. Okay, move it into the market and sell it. But they now have to ask themselves, okay, who are we selling to? Who are we targeting? And they started targeting children. And they say, okay, so how do we choose a name that is good for children? And how do we brand it in such a way that children can easily identify with it? And that was how Bubble Drink came out. Okay, even from the name Bubble, Bubble will let you know that, okay, this thing has a unique niche that they are targeting. Okay, this guy wants to focus specifically on children. So if you look at the bottle, the way they handle it, you see that somebody took interest in the design to make sure that it's designed in such a way that kids will be able to hold it. Okay, it's also value for parents. When you buy Vigil for your kids, because their stomach is not so big, they are not able to finish it, so they waste it. So it becomes value. Buy a smaller one, which can accommodate their stomach. And then also kids love it. The name is easy. They have cartoon figures on it. And what happens is the same product, the same market, almost the same sector, but is well differentiated because somebody sat down and saw an unserved area of need, created value, or became innovative in that area. And what happens is that wealth was created. So these things don't happen by chance. These things don't happen by somebody just waking up and just praying and say, oh God, give me something of value. Oh God, help me. I want to be rich. You can pray that prayer endlessly. In fact, you might be praying and God might be giving your attention to an area of life that requires improvement. And your inability to understand it, your inability to create that value and drive into it might be what is keeping you poor. So whenever you pray a prayer of prosperity, whenever you pray a prayer of blessing, God's response to that prayer is to give you an idea that will create value. Whether that idea creates that value supernaturally or whether it creates value, wealth is only transferable through value. Anybody that transfers wealth without value is the person we call a thief, or with the popular name we call scammers. They try to use fake value in order to receive from you. And what happens is that at the end of the day, you know, people are left sad, people are left broken, because it's not what you intended in buying that you ended up buying. Okay? So the business value process, or you can call it simply value process, it works in any sector, whether it is business, non-business, is the idea that gives you the opportunity to sit down, look at life differently, look at case studies, look at data. The way people consume data outside Nigeria is very mad. Like you can see the way organizations invest in data, you are wondering what is going on. Is there any other thing? Okay, you just want to know how old they are, where they stay, what time do they go to work, what time do they come back, what is their pattern? You know, so you discover that it's all about understanding. Why are they doing all that? What is the essence of the data? What is the essence of data? Because when I see an unserved area of need, when I see a pain, when I see an unmet area of need, what happens is that I go in and I begin to ask myself, how do I bring out value from this? Let me say this is very important. If you missed this, it wasn't there when I was talking about this, okay, initially. So this is part of the update, okay? Part of the update is that there is a connection between your purpose and the value that you create in life. Okay? There is a connection between, so you can't just move around life and see value in everything. There is a connection between who you are wired to be, and the kind of value you see in life. So for instance, there is a reason why some people love cars the way they love cars. There's a reason why people admire houses the way they admire houses. Whenever they are passing a house, they just say, ah, who did this kind of roof? I'm not even seeing the roof. I'm looking at it. The other day, my friend, we went somewhere and he was complaining. He said, this guy's painting was done poorly. I said, I've been to that guy's house like twice or three times. The house is fine. I didn't notice anything about painting. He said, no, so you are not looking. Don't worry, when we came, that guy just, the painting was very bad. And we came and he started showing me things. You say, see this one? He said, okay, I didn't even notice it. There's a reason why your heart draws to an area, because you cannot innovate every area. You cannot be everywhere. Some of the people we call so-called serial entrepreneurs are not necessarily bringing innovation serially in different sectors. They now have purchasing power, which is cash. So when they have purchasing power, it's easy for them to invest in different value chains, and then they can have chains of businesses because they have people who understand that area, who have built value in that area, manage it for them, and then it grows. But you as an individual must find out, is a specific area connected to your purpose, connected to your skill, connected to your passion, connected to the movement happening within you, that will be a strong guide into a specific area where you are supposed to innovate. So how do you approach your calling? God has called you to be a business person. Okay, so what aspect of business are you passionate about? Okay, you want to make clothes. Okay, so I have passion for clothing. When I see people dress, you know, there's something about it. I just feel that there could be a better design. Okay, awesome. Go into that area, begin to study it. What are the pain points? What are the unmet areas? What are the areas of needs? And how do you bring innovation to that? Voila, you've discovered success. How do you bring innovation to that? It is that simple, it is that powerful, and though some people might be lazy to go through that process, that is one thing that I can tell you that is delaying your wealth. So you have to find purpose. Why is purpose important? There's a story I always share whenever I talk about purpose, okay? And that story was in the animal kingdom. There was meant to be a race. If you are very close to me, maybe you have heard the story for 10,000 times. I'm sorry about that. Okay? There are people who haven't heard it. There's an animal kingdom, and they said, okay, we have to organize a race. Okay, so the first race is supposed to happen in the sky. The second race is supposed to happen on ground. And the third one is supposed to happen in the sea. Okay? And they said, okay, any animal, anywhere you find yourself, select your best. The race starts tomorrow. So the animals in the sky selected the eagle to represent them. Say, oh, we like eagle. You know, the eagle is swift, the eagle is sharp, you represent us. The ones on the floor said, okay, no, we need the horse. It has high endurance, it can go a mile, it's strong, the hooves are strong. Then the fish said, okay, inside the water, we need the shark. You know, the movement, the teeth, you know, it can withstand anything. They said, okay, tomorrow is the race. And they said, we are going to start on the land. They said, on your mat, get set, go. The gun went up. The horse disappeared. The eagle, of course, was trying to run on its feet because you can't fly. The race is on the ground. So the eagle was just, you know, running on the ground. And of course, the fish was just jumping up and down. The shark would just jump up and down. I'm dying, I need water. It was just jumping up and down. And guess who won the race? It was the horse. And I said, okay, the next one is going to be in the sky. And your mat, get set, go. Boom. The eagle went into the sky and disappeared. Nobody could spot the eagle again. The horse will jump up and jump down. The fish kept jumping down. I need water. I'm about to die. Can someone please help me? And guess who won the race? It's the eagle that won the race. I said, okay, the next race is going to be inside water. On your mat, get set, boom. Remember, the fish have been shouting, I need water, I'm dying. And then the shark just went into the river and disappeared. The horse was still struggling how to paddle. The eagle was struggling with their wings to paddle. And what happens is that at the end of the day, the fish won the race. So on the final day, when they are to announce who the winner is, it was a struggle to announce a winner, because they discovered that everybody was a winner. So what is the moral of the story? Everybody is a winner in their purpose. Everybody is a winner in their line of purpose, because your purpose is designed with an environment in mind. It's designed with certain skills in mind. There's a reason why you are short. There's a reason why you are tall. There's a reason why you speak English the way you speak it. There's a reason why the other person struggles with language. There's a reason why you are good with math. There's a reason why you have a good memory about history. There's a reason why you love politics. There's a reason why you love business. There's a reason why you are passionate about God. Everything you think about every morning is soul winning, and you can't wait to talk to somebody about God. There's a reason why your heart is the way it is, with the skills, with everything surrounded. It is you understanding your uniqueness. It is you understanding that uniqueness that makes you successful. So let me say this again. People will assume that you are poor and unsuccessful simply because you are in the wrong environment. And you need to understand this, because you need to stop comparing yourself with people. And you need to start associating with people based on the fact that you admire their success. No, you have to associate with people based on the fact that they align with your purpose. Because so many of you are horses and you are associating with ego. And the ego keeps flying. You keep envying them. You keep thinking that there's nothing good about you. You keep thinking that you don't have anything, but you are simply in a raw state. You don't understand yourself. You don't understand your skills. You don't understand your strengths and your weaknesses. So as the eagle is being celebrated, you think you are not it. You are simply in an environment. Put your hoofs on the ground and take off. You will see that all of a sudden the attention turns to you, because you are now a player in your own field, in your own environment, with your own set of skills and rules, and nobody can say you are not successful. The same thing with the fish. A fish is more likely able to know how to catch a worm inside the ocean than an eagle that is in the sky. An eagle in the sky is more likely to know how to hunt on ground than a fish that is inside the water. So there is a lot that is connected to who you are, your purpose, and what God has designed you to be, and your ability to discover success in life. So you can't innovate in every area. You have to find that area that is unique to you, and then you begin to innovate. You build from ground up, and it makes your life different. So when we came back from South Africa, let me share a very personal story. When we came back from South Africa, I had no job. I was looking for a job. I was trying to, get involved in life again, you know. And one of the things that helped me before I left South Africa was I listened to a T.D. Jakes message. And in that message, T.D. Jakes was talking about if you misalign, or maybe you... He was talking, no, it's not T.D. Jakes, no. What's his name again? Andy Stanley. Oh, it's been long I listened to that guy. Andy Stanley is a good guy on leadership. He's somebody I recommend you listen to. So Andy Stanley was trying to teach about how to restart life again. So maybe you have a broken marriage, or you failed business, or you had a moral issue, or a lot of things just happened in your life and you needed to restart again. So I remember listening to that message before we left South Africa. So when we came back from South Africa, we came back with nothing, like practically nothing. I came back to Enugu. I had no car, I had no job, I had no source of income. We are simply, like we always say, feeding from hand to mouth. Absolutely nothing. With three kids and a family, I had nothing. True life story. Okay. One day that message clicked in my mind while I was submitting my CVs, trying to talk to people, trying to, you know, go back to people I used to do business before. I left Enugu, I had two cars by the time I left Enugu. Okay, by the time I was coming back, completely had nothing, not because I failed where I went to. No, we are just there for some kind of missionary work. So it was not business as usual, where you are all in making money. So by the time I was coming back, we just came back from mission. Okay. So trying to find my feet, trying to ask myself, where do I start from? What do I do? And suddenly I saw somebody advertising a business program. They want to do, his name is Ife, a very good friend of mine up till now. I saw him, he was advertising for a program. They want to do entrepreneurship something, Accelerate Lab. That was the name of the program. So I saw him advertising it. I called him, and he's somebody that respects me. So these are people who knew me before then, you know, you know, you left an environment, nobody knows you by the time you come back. Not everybody recognizes your value. So I called him, I asked him, I said, do you have facilitators for this program? He said, ah, my God, I'm looking for facilitators. So I have some courses, have not been able to complete this one and that one. I told him, okay. So which ones are important to you that you would like me to cover? So he showed me some topics and said, okay, this one is fine. If you can give me a good job in this one, that would be nice. I said, it's nice, I can. I opened my laptop, designed my PowerPoint. You know, this is a fish that is about to enter water. You see, opened it, went to the training center. The whole place broke into two. Come out, people will be asking you, sir, can I get your number? Sir, can you mentor me? This one, that one, that one, that one. We scheduled another training. Came there, the same thing. I was offering value. I was teaching free, he was not paying me, it was free. But what was happening was that I was beginning to expose what I have inside me. I was beginning to expose my content. I was beginning to expose that thing that is in a raw material that nobody could recognize. Fast forward from 2017 to 2023, right? Yeah, 2023, when I left Enugu, probably, you know, 7 years. Fast forward from that time, I started building from ground up, increasing my value, volunteering with people. From there, I started having businesses. I started being paid to train. From there, I started working. I ran for the first election, did my book, launched the book, got on the board by Enugu State Government. From there, by the time I was leaving, I was more like a chief of staff of a governorship candidate by just gradually increasing my value and exposing my uniqueness. That is why, we don't have time. I think there's something else I need to talk about. Okay, let's see. Let's see what happens, how I'm going to. I've not even shared what I wanted to share with you today. This is an overlap from last week. But let's see how it goes. So increasing my uniqueness, there is something that I have, and if I enter that environment, it will be very hard to compete with me. Not because there's something special. If I move away from that environment, I start struggling. It took me time to do a self-analysis of myself. If I move away from that environment, I start struggling. Money becomes difficult. Contacts become difficult, relationship before, but if I come back to that sector, everything starts moving. Nobody is a failure. Listen to me here. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you are. I don't know. People will assume you are a failure simply because you are not in your environment. Everybody is a success in their environment. Let me say it again. Everybody is a success in their environment. Let me tell you what witchcraft is. Let me explain to you what village people is. When they say that witchcraft is put on somebody not to prosper, what that witchcraft does is to take your eyes off your place, move you into a different location, and then you become someone who will find him or herself in perpetual struggle. To break the power of witchcraft, move, find clarity, find the light, find purpose, understand direction. The moment you understand it and step into it, something unusual begins to happen to you. That's what people call grace and favor. It just becomes unusual. It just becomes unusual. Joseph can be anywhere suffering. You can put him in the prison, you can lock him up, but make sure you don't dream around him. Once you dream around him and he unlocks that dream, something changes. Something just changes in that environment. Everybody wants to associate with him. Everybody wants to make him friend. Everybody wants to honor him because his destiny is tied in his ability to respond to dreams, not just his ability to arrange things and make things better. No, he was a dream interpreter. So until you discover your purpose, it will affect your value within that area. So you will just keep struggling. You will just keep, you know, you keep doing this one, you do that one, you do that one, you do that one, until you now find your place. That is what makes it look like you are working with grace. That's why how you know somebody who has found their place? If you ask them, why are you successful? They will tell you, it's the grace of God. Or they are telling you the truth because some things are happening to them they can't explain.
Some things are happening to them. They can't just tell you it's by their works. It's just unusual because they stumbled into that place and it makes their life unique. So that is why I no longer envy people. And that is why you should not even envy others. And that is why you should not put yourself down. Just know that where you are is as a result of your inability for you to discover your place. Once you find it, it blows up. It becomes something strange. It becomes something powerful. There are certain areas that if I go in, you shouldn't try to compete with me. I even know. Some people who are very close to me, even when I'm, you know, discussing with my wife personally and I'm about to do something, I always say, unless this person is flowing in their area, if not, this race is for me. I'm going to win this one. There is no reason why I will not stand out. I know. So I don't venture into every idea. I don't venture into business. Every environment is not for me because I know I could die. Imagine a fish jumping out of water. In a space of 5 minutes to 10 minutes, you're a dead man. Why? You left your environment. Everything is not for you. Find your purpose, then begin to find the value in that area or line of purpose. That is how you discover success. I can't get into my conversation today. So we'll just have to push it for next week. If I open it up, it's going to drag. So this is how I'm going to summarize it. I'm sure at least we have dealt with business value process. I thought it was something I could handle in a day, but this is how I summarize it. You have a value inside you that could possibly give you wealth, that could possibly give you success, whatever it is that you desire, that you are planning to do beyond your imagination. The only reason why you continue to struggle is that you have not aligned your purpose with the area that you are supposed to create value out of. So let's say that your purpose is to own a restaurant, for instance. You just see that there's something good about you cooking. There's something unique about you cooking. And you just go into that area and then begin to find out, okay, the people who own restaurant already, how are they doing it? What are people complaining about? You do a research, you talk to people. When you go to that restaurant, what don't you like? Oh, I don't like this, I don't like that. You begin to document it. You begin to ask yourself questions. How do I do something different? How do I do? When you are in your place, you will find investors. You see, people will give you money. All this, nobody wants to invest in my idea. When you find your place, even there's a way you are going to be explaining it that will be so convincing that the person wants to invest. That is something I've realized. That's why it looks like there's a grace or there's this unusual favor that is helping you in that area because you have discovered your place. Okay? I read a story about a woman who lost her job in Lagos. Then I used to have that woman's teaching in my phone then, you know. And the woman was sharing how she lost her job. She came back home and was praying. And God told her, you know how to make more and more, start making more and more and start selling. And the woman made some more and more, you know, gave to her friends. And the friends liked it and said, oh, please, can you make more for me? Her colleague in the office. I said, please, can you make more? And then she now made more and more for them. Okay. And then the colleague one day was at home. Somebody visited and said, he said, oh, I don't have anything. Oh, I have more and more. Let me microwave it for you. And that's how the guy ate the moment. I said, wow, I've never tasted moi-moi like this. He went home. There was an event after that. He said, please, that person that made moi-moi, can they do for an event? He said, it's my friend. I don't know. Let me ask her. Call the friend. I said, yes, of course, I can. How many pieces do you want? We want 1,000 pieces. The woman started making it. To cut the long story short, from her house, he moved into a warehouse. From a warehouse, it turned into a chain of distribution for shops, for individuals, for events. And that was how she started making millions. That is even more than the job that she was doing before. Why? Because not only that she discovered her place. I'm sure it's not going to be just ordinary moi-moi. There are things that she is going to do to make that thing, you know, tastes so different and so unique that everybody is going to desire it. So become a person of value. You are not poor. You are not poor. It's not lack of cash that is keeping you where you are. It's your inability to innovate. And how do you become strongly innovative? It's by finding your area in life. There's something unique to you. There's something special to you. Some of you already know it. I was listening to Seal the other day. You know, Seal, you know, the famous singer Seal, you know, he used to sing with a band. Finally, he came back to UK. He was depressed, sleeping in the friend's house, and he doesn't, you know, have money, no job and everything. And one day he asked his friend, he said, "When I sing, does my voice actually sound nice?" And he said that a friend told him that, "Let me be very honest with you. I've never found any singer. You see, all these people who are singing, that you sound better than most of them when you sing in my house." And so he said, "Are you sure?" He said, "You sound better than most of these people." And that was how he decided to take a chance. Started recording, from recording, started, people loved his album. He released the next one, released the next single. They loved it. It topped UK charts. It topped, became second in the world. And that was how he kept on doing it and kept on doing it. And something that he was in a raw state that he was not even sure could make him successful, gave him a global relevance. There's something that you have. Is still in a raw state. Your success is not outside of you. Your success is inside of you. There's something unique about you. When you discover it and amplify that value, what happens is that it increases your value and it increases what people can bring in exchange to that value. There's a singer in your church. They don't even pay the person. Another singer comes from Lagos. They call her Mercy Chinwo. When she's done singing, they give her 5 million. Why? Sometimes your voice might even be smarter, but she has taken time to increase value, increase her presence, do videos, create awareness, build consistently over time. What happens is that the money that the two individuals attract is different because there has been both upward and horizontal movement. There are people, when increasing their value, they make both upward and horizontal movement. So it's massive value creation. Massive value creation. Sometimes horizontal movements can be increasing your influence. So you have an influence in Nigeria, from there you have an influence in South Africa, from there you are known globally. Nobody is going to invite you as a global speaker and pay you the same thing as somebody who is speaking in Lagos. Because it has been both an upward and horizontal movement. So thank you guys, our time is up. I don't want to take you beyond this. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. Please do follow us on our social media handles on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok at Transformers Global LC, on Twitter X at TGlobalLC.